What a beautiful song. How great is our God. Amen. And amen. Good morning, One Turner Church family. As you can tell, I'm a lot chipper today. I want to extend a warm welcome to those of you who are worshiping with us here, who are joining us online. And I'm going to embarrass two people because they didn't actually tell me they were coming today. It's a nice surprise. I don't normally embarrass our guests and our visitors, but my parents are here today. That's them in the corner. Hi, that's... Oh, you know, just mom and dad. Irene, he's my mom and dad. He goes by his initials, YH. It's good to see you guys. I just want to welcome you. My back is a lot better. Last week, it was about a 5 when I kind of woke up. And when I came to church, it was about a 7. But today, I'm pretty much over it. That's, of course, until the next coffee table. Insert old man joke here. For those of you that don't know, I hurt my back sitting on the floor building a coffee table. We won't talk about that anymore. I said in my newsletter that in the big scheme of things, my back and the little cough that is still remaining, it's more of an annoyance than an inconvenience. And it's more of an annoyance and an inconvenience, rather, because I know many of us are probably a lot more sick than I am. Dan and the whole family got COVID. Dan's throat, in fact, if you remember, was much worse than mine. But nevertheless, I do appreciate the thoughts and the prayers. Now, before we start our sermon, I just want to mention the NomCom report again. If you've missed the announcements, it's on the newsletter. The details are there. But today is what we call the first reading. So what that means, it's that it's not official until it's voted in, which we'll do next week. And there will be additional names. So we'll do that in a separate sort of a vote, as we call it. If you haven't seen your name on the list, or you've said yes, it's most likely because you said yes just as after we were ready to publish. One more thing about the NomCom report. I said in the newsletter that we've spent about 40-plus hours meeting. How much fun is that over the last... Kishore's like exciting stuff, right? And that doesn't include all the phone calls and all the conversation. I do want to say that I appreciate the messages that I've gotten and also the inherent trust in NomCom, I guess. We try to do the best that we can. We consider burnout, availability, team chemistry, and all of those things. But thank you for all the feedback. And we would like to still hear from you, of course. I'm excited to see what God has in store for us, not just here in One Turner, but for us as a church, as a wider church community. We'll start the next stages of planning very soon. All right, let's get to our message for today. I'm going to pray. I can actually kneel. I actually like to kneel if for no other reason than to just calm my nerves. So I'm going to kneel. Just want to make sure my mic's working. I'm going to step away from that. Yep, it's good? Yep, cool. I'm going to kneel. And feel free to stay seated as we pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I just want to thank you for this opportunity, God, to come before you to open your word. Lord, my prayer remains the same, that you would hide the messenger behind the cross of Calvary, that any and all glory will go back to you and to you alone. I ask that you would open our hearts and open our minds as well as we open your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We continue with our Facts, Fables, Formalities, and Foundations series. If you missed last week, you should go back because it does set the stage for the entire series. Now, I mentioned last week that throughout the series, I'm going to be sharing what we call hermeneutics. Not every sermon, but we'll be looking at how we determine our foundations. So hermeneutics is basically how we study, how we approach, how we interpret the Bible and the Word of God. We have these 6 statements that we will be looking at. Last week was, I am a Christian. Today, Seventh-day Adventist or Christian. Next week, Dan will take us through once saved, always saved, the God of love who sends you to hell forever, women shouldn't lead in church, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Now, at a glance, you can see, well, they are all supposedly unrelated statements, perhaps, but there is actually a common theme across all 6 statements. and that's they've all been influenced by facts, fables, formalities, and foundations, and we'll discover which is which as we progress along. As we look at the first topic, we apply one very important hermeneutic. If you remember what it is, it starts with C and rhymes with consistency. Consistency. Because as we approach the Bible, we have to have some level of consistency in how we open it, in how we interpret, in how we study it, right? In fact, for me, you really should be applying consistency to any foundational principle of life that you claim to live by. Today's topic, Seventh-day Adventist or Christian, today's topic, today's title is what I call clickbait. Have you heard that term before? It's made famous by, I guess, YouTubers and sensationalist headliners to have a title that is sort of controversial to get you to click on it. Now, I'm just going to straight up admit that it's a clickbait title. In fact, let me ask you this question. How many of you think this title is wrong? It's a trick question, right? Let me rephrase the question. How many of you think it shouldn't be an either-or Christian? Because how many of you think Seventh-day Adventists are Christians? Put your hand up. Okay, good. That's good. Let's have the benediction and let's go home, right? Not quite yet. You guys remember Word Bookstore in Nunawading? Yeah, many of you remember that. It closed down probably 2015, 2016. And there's a point to this, so bear with me, all right? I remember coming to Australia, and I was fascinated by Word. This was in the late 90s. I came as a teenager because it was by far the biggest bookstore, Christian bookstore that I'd ever been to. It's bigger than Coorong, which is in Blackburn right now. And as a teenager, I was starting to discover my faith, going through ups and downs and figuring things out for myself. And I'd only been going to church for a handful of years. And when I came to Australia, I had just been baptized, okay? My exposure to church was very limited as I didn't grow up in the church. And back in those days, we didn't have the internet. So whatever we learned was at church. Like, we didn't have the internet. Some of you are like, no internet? Like, Yoshi, you're old between that and your back. I was going to insert a Ben or a Paul joke, but let's move on. So I came to Australia and there was Word Bookstore. This nice big bookstore. There was a gamut of books with different theology. And I had to figure out what was what. And I asked questions and lots of it. One very interesting thing about this bookstore, and this was again in the late 90s, there was a section for cults. You guys remember that? I was very fascinated by that section, not because I was fascinated by the occult in any way, shape, or form, even though I had unpleasant first-hand experience with it. That's another story altogether. But I was fascinated because in the cult section of Word Bookstore had books like this. Cultic Doctrine of Seventh-day Adventists. Now, I can't remember if this was the actual book that was there, but there were other books that looked like this. Look at this. This is the cult series. What do they believe? Seventh-day Adventists. Now, of course, being new in my faith, what have I gotten myself into? My parents, by the way, did a fantastic job in pointing me in the right direction. And of course, I am where I am today in big part to their spiritual guidance. I didn't shy away from asking questions. And I guess what was then figuring out the foundations. I think we as Seventh-day Adventists clearly identify ourselves as Christians. But do others see it that way? I remember early 2000, mid-2000s, I went to a Word Bookstore, and my first, point of approach was to the cult section, and I couldn't find Seventh-day Adventists anymore. I'd been quite settled in my faith by then, and I was like, oh, we've made it. We're no longer in that segment. We are now mainstream. I'm being somewhat facetious, of course, because the fact is there are still some, just go to YouTube, don't go to YouTube, who sees us as a cult for I don't know whatever reason. I've seen maybe a handful of these videos, and they are just, they said, I watched one, and within 2 minutes, I'm like, that's not even what we believe, which is kind of really interesting. My question, though, is what reasons do people have for thinking that? I mean, to say we're not a cult is easy. We just need to identify the characteristics of a cult, and we are not it. That's a simple sermon to preach. But for our time today, I'm going to share a few thoughts about how to answer the question, Seventh-day Adventist or Christian. We'll look at some foundational principles that determine who we are and why it's important that we make those our foundational principles. Now, as usual, let me give you a quick outline of our presentation today. Firstly, we're just going to start off with some facts about our church, about the Seventh-day Adventist Church. This is perhaps the benefit of those of you who don't know much about a church, especially if you're watching online, and some perhaps in our One Turner family who is new to us as a church. Now, for some of you who grew up in the church, this might be new information as well. We'll spend a handful of minutes on that. The second part of our presentation, we're going to be looking at five major foundations. It's in fact probably three, because I'm going to group two and then one and then two together. So five things, and then we'll tie it up in just a couple of minutes at the end. Now, some of you thinking, only five? Isn't it 28? And some of you are like, 28 what? We will come to that. In fact, how many of you remember all 28 fundamental beliefs and can recite them? I better put my hand down. I teach it, but I can't remember it off the top of my head. I probably could if I really, you know, went through each one. But today we're just going to look at five, okay? Alrighty. Now, we'll tie it up together, but let's start off with some quick facts and figures. These are the most recent statistics of as at 31st December 2021. Seventh-day Adventist Church, World Church Statistics. There are a total of 95,297 churches around the world. That's 3,000 and just over 3,000 more than 2020, which works out to a new SDA church plant every 3 hours, okay, around the world. There are 73,000 companies, just under 22 million members, and accessions, which is people joining the church, baptisms and profession of faith is just over a million. That works out to about a baptism every 30 seconds around the world. So since the time I've started preaching, there have been 30 people, 25, I've been preaching for 12 minutes. I can't count. 24 people baptized. There we go. There are just under 21,000 ordained ministers, 322,000 total active employees. Let me give you a few more facts. Countries and areas of the world as recognized by the United Nations, there's a total of 235. Countries and areas of the world in which Seventh-day Adventist work is established, 212. So there are 23 countries where the church does not have a presence. Languages used in Seventh-day Adventist publications and oral work, 535 languages. 9,400 schools, 118 tertiary institutions, 229 hospitals and sanitariums, which is places of health and well-being. Publishing houses, 57 nursing homes and retirement centers, 129. Beneficiaries of ADRA projects, just under 21 million. Facts and figures, if you're interested in that, we are a worldwide organization spread throughout literally the entire world. So if you understand kind of how church structure works, I'm not going to bore you. The church forms the conference, the Victorian Conference. The Victorian Conference, New South Wales, North New South Wales Conference, Greater Sydney Conference, and all those form the Australian Union. The Australian Union, along with the New Zealand Union and a few others, form the South Pacific Division, which is, that's where we're at. It's in yellow. And all of these divisions form the General Conference. Okay? So young people, you might be like, oh, that's how church structure works. Yep. When we say the General Conference session that you might have heard, we basically have representatives from the whole world coming together. Our own Brian and Lorraine and Wendy were delegates
They actually went and voted on World Matters. I think Lorraine was the delegate. Brian was just plus one. I've previously shown photos of a GC session that I attended back in 2010. So this was in Toronto. I didn't go as a colleague. I was studying in the U.S. at that point in time, so I thought we'd just go. No, this is Atlanta, sorry. Toronto was in 2000, which I also had a chance to go with mom and dad. That's the stadium. That's dad sitting right there. Mom is feeding him. No, I don't know what mom was doing. yep. And obviously, that's kind of the morning session. And by the time the Sabbath session came along, all the rafters were full. There was something like 71,000 people for that one Sabbath morning. As you can tell, as we were trying to leave, social distancing, schmocial distancing. It was exciting because we got to hear reports of everything that was happening around the world. Now, this year's session would have been a lot smaller, but as a church, our foundations haven't changed that much. I want to show you a one-minute clip just to kind of bring all of these facts together. The video, however, ends with what I believe is the most important fact of all. Check this out.
Commonly known as Adventists, we are a Christian movement established in 1863. And more than 20 million members. We also observe the seventh-day Sabbath. Worldwide, we have more than 162,000 congregations. We serve countless communities with our education institutions. With 2 million students. And 198 hospitals around the world. And it's all because we love Jesus.
By the way, that video is a little bit older than the stats that I showed you, hence they're a little bit lower. When was the last time? I hope you're saying yesterday or even this morning, but when was the last time we described Adventism like that? Why don't you ponder on that for a moment? That video was from the official Seventh-day Adventist YouTube channel. By the way, everything official actually has a strong emphasis on Jesus. If you go to our main page, Adventist.org, this is the homepage of our world church. Understand the Bible to find freedom, healing, and hope in Jesus. But somehow, somewhere along the line, some of us, lost the big picture. And there are maybe some of us Adventists today that haven't found the right foundations. It's somehow become about all the other things, with Jesus just kind of tagged on at the end. People seem to be a lot more passionate in discussing the controversial things, whether it's music or vaccines or everything else in between, than about Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. Let's open a can of worms there, right? I'm not saying don't discuss those things. Of course, they bear discussion. But where does our church, where does our foundation lie? Last year, we did a series on Daniel and Revelation, an end time series. It was a short series, too short for that matter. It was important to do, and a large part of our church was founded on prophetic doctrines. Now, the early church pioneers, working from the studies of reformers before their time and standing on their shoulders, came up with some powerful stuff about prophecy. I debated within myself how much of history I wanted to go into with our church, because to understand Christianity, which we did a little bit last week, and to talk about the Seventh-day Adventist church, we kind of have to talk about the two. But I decided I won't at all. There's just so much. But I want to show you this prophetic chart. Some of you will recognize this. Can you guys kind of make out some of the stuff that's there? So you have your beasts, you have your sanctuary and the papacy and a whole bunch of other things, 1844, and a whole bunch of other things, 1798, dates which are probably familiar to some of us here. Fantastic, fascinating. Preached on it. I think it was a 7 or a 9-part series. But to build our foundations, we maybe need to take a couple of steps before we get to this prophetic stuff. Revelation 1 verse 1 says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Duh. So if somebody has said to me, and I have people saying to me, I want to study Revelation, my first question isn't, well, it's when, but my first question almost always is, oh, have you read through the Gospels and figure out who Jesus is yet? If they say no, I said start there first, because it is the context of the two. Last week, I said that our hermeneutic was consistency. This week, there's another word I want you to remember as we build our foundations. It starts with P and rhymes with priority. The word is priority. There we go. Okay. As we study the Bible, we have to be consistent and we have to find the right priority. Having the right priority is important when building a foundation. We have what we call the 28 fundamental beliefs. In fact, here is the official statement outlining the 28 fundamental beliefs. Upholding the Protestant conviction of sola scriptura, or Bible only, these 28 fundamental beliefs describe how Seventh-day Adventists interpret scripture for daily application. So it's not a creed, and I'm not going to go through all 28 today, but it's a summary of how we look at the Bible. If we went through all 28 today, we'd be here for a long time. Instead, as we move to the second half of our sermon, what we're going to do right now is highlight 5 things that I believe are key to Seventh-day Adventism. In fact, last week and this week's sermon is probably interchangeable. I guess the difference is that last week was a more individualized approach, whereas this week it's a more collective approach. Last week I said, when I say I'm a Christian, it's about focusing on the person of Jesus, it's about fixing your perspective, it's about finding your purpose. Now, today we're going to take a more collective approach to the doctrine of the church. So my prayer is that as Seventh-day Adventists, people want to ask you what it's all about, we can prioritize these 5 things and say these are just 5 things. And then you can explain from there, you can go deeper from there, okay? Now, you'll see what I mean. Last week, we spent the entire time in the book of Romans. Today, we're going to be taking a more sort of a topical approach. Let's start with 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. The Bible says this, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good. Sounds a little bit like some of the society that we live in today, right? Treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its powers, and avoid such men as these. So Paul is describing some of these people, and notice he isn't just pointing to people outside of the church, he's pointing to some inside the church who have apparently this form of godliness. Not much has changed from Paul's day until today. He then goes on to talk about persecution, deception, and then he drops some of the most powerful, foundational premises of the Bible, really, towards the end of 2 Timothy chapter 3. In fact, these next few verses I'm about to read gives us the first 2 of our 5 foundational principles we're covering today. It's 2 of the most important things that we believe as a church. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learnt it, verse 15, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I could break this down so much more because this passage has been misused so often. But what I want to do is just point out the two basic foundational principles in a world that we live in. The first one is this idea of salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And the second is Scriptures. That's the basis of who we are as Seventh-day Adventists. And you bet we believe this. Foundational to our belief when we say we are Seventh-day Adventists, we are saying it's salvation and it's Scripture. More specifically, salvation refers to the who of our faith. And you go, it's Jesus. Duh. Yes, it's right. But we need to say it more. If someone asks you if you're a Seventh-day Adventist, lead with that. And of course, we learn of Jesus from Scripture, which I call the what of our faith. We draw our Christian experience from Scripture. We draw our faith, our principles from nowhere else. When determining our foundation, it's quite simple. Our priorities should be on salvation and finding Christ in Scripture. Salvation found in Christ, and finding Christ in Scripture, and that's a fact. We talk about non-salvational issues all the time. Of course we do. We'll make the time to talk about it, but that is not where our foundation lies. That is not where our priority lies. We are to stand out and be different. Our time that we live in today is very much like Paul's time. I mean, you look around and go, oh man, yeah. You look at the headlines, right? It's either celebrity gossip or the next worst thing, bad thing that can happen. Jesus knew everything that was going to happen. That's why he gave us passages that's familiar to a number of us here. John chapter 14, he says this. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. In a world with so much trouble, Jesus tells us that he's coming to take us to our real home. And we can very quickly and very easily move to our third foundational principle when we say we are Seventh-day Adventists. The third foundational principle of our denomination is the second coming. So salvation is the who of our faith. Scripture is the what of our faith. The second coming is the when of our faith. It's the time when our faith will be fully realized. It gives us hope, meaning, purpose. It gives us something better beyond this world to look forward to. I could preach an entire sermon about the second coming, and I have. I could preach an entire series about the second coming. We've only looked at one verse. But when we say we are Seventh-day Adventists, it's actually literally in our name, the second coming. Do you know that? Because the word Advent actually means the second coming of Jesus. Let me take a slight detour for a moment. Just a slight detour. This is our church logo. You see it everywhere. The color scheme is a little bit different because it's the orange and the sort of a dark gray, light black, and white theme. But this is our logo. We didn't just choose this logo. The founders of the church didn't just choose this logo because it was nice. Do you know there's a meaning to this logo? Does anybody know what each of those represent? All right, I have a few nods. Let's start with that. the cross. The symbol of the cross, representing the gospel of salvation, is positioned in the center of the design to emphasize Christ's sacrifice, which is the central theme of our faith. The open Bible. The Bible forms the base of the design and represents the biblical foundation of our beliefs. It is portrayed in a fully open position, suggesting a full acceptance of God's word, Scripture. The lines at the top of the design suggest a continued upward momentum, symbolizing the resurrection and ascension to heaven at Christ's second coming, the ultimate focus of our faith. And that's where we get the name from, Adventist. In the meantime, before Jesus comes, the flame. This is the shape formed by three lines encircling an implied sphere. The lines represent the three angels of Revelation 14 circling the globe and our commission to take the gospel to the entire world. The overall shape forms a flame symbolic of the Holy Spirit. The flame symbolizes our perspective and our purpose. I preached about the three angels message last year, at the end of last year. But finishing our section, we finished with this final two S's, which I've put together. Spirit and Sabbath. And I've grouped these together for reasons that will be very obvious shortly. The Sabbath, the seventh day, it's in our name. But why did I group them together? It's because it's the how of our faith. Not how we are saved, because we are not saved by what we do. That's the salvation part. But how our salvation, how our faith is actually expressed. By the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And by the sanctity of the Sabbath, which God set aside in the Ten Commandments for a day to connect and to commune with Him. We are Seventh-day Adventists who believe in salvation, the who of our faith focusing on Jesus. We are Seventh-day Adventists believing in Scripture, the what of our faith, where we discover and learn of biblical truths and who Jesus is. We are Seventh-day Adventists, where we look forward to the second coming, the when of our faith, when Jesus comes again. We are Seventh-day Adventists with the Holy Spirit and the Sabbath, the how of our faith, in how our life is experienced. We need to fully grasp this, and if we don't understand Daniel and Revelation, not to be able to teach it, that's okay. But I think God's okay with it. As we continue to learn, as we continue to grow, as we tie Seventh-day Adventist and Christian together, we need to start foundationally with these five things. I want to wrap up. We started off with this question. Seventh-day Adventist or Christian? It's, of course, a redundant question, not a trick question. Seventh-day Adventists are Christians. We should be. As we discovered last week, we focus on the person of Jesus, we fix our perspective, and we find our purpose. Last week and this week's sermon is interchangeable. We are Seventh-day Adventists, not just a Christian denomination, we are Christians. And perhaps the reason why this question even needs to be asked is, well, maybe we're getting our priorities wrong. Maybe we're only Adventists in name. We are only Adventists on the seventh day of the week, right? Because there's Seventh-day Adventist, and there's Seventh-day Adventist. Because we're only Christians when we put on our nice Sabbath morning attire, we come here and say, "Happy Sabbath, church." And our guests are like, "I don't know what that means." And we speak a language that we only practice in those hours. Let's not be Seventh-day Adventist, the bottom one, but let's be Seventh-day Adventist Christian. That is my prayer and my challenge to you. I'd like to invite our praise and worship team to come up. We'll close with the same song we closed with last Sabbath, because I believe that God still calls us foundationally to share the light he has given to us to give to the world. As Seventh-day Adventists, as Christians, salvation, scripture, second coming, spirit, and Sabbath. Let's stand as we sing.